The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Boy, the rookies put on a show. There was so much sports this weekend. At one point, I'm watching multiple NFL high draft pick quarterbacks. I thought light it up. Looked very impressive. At the same time, there's summer league going on. Yankees and White Sox are playing. I'm going crazy, right? There are fights on that night and on multiple networks, fights, including ours. Oh, what a sports weekend. Like a real kind of quiet as kept great sports weekend. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. I have never said this before. After one game of preseason, this quarterback draft class has a chance to be the greatest of all time. Well, you say, you know, has a chance to be that. I've never thought that before after one preseason game. Look, I know there was Marino and Elway and Jim Kelly in the same draft. That's going to be hard to beat on the upper end. I'm not sure that we're going to get anyone as good as the third best guy in that group, who was maybe Jim Kelly, who was great, Hall of Famer. So maybe none of these guys are as good as Jim Kelly. We'll see. But I can't remember a draft class where I saw five guys, five different quarterbacks who I go, these are all ballers. I think the worst among them, the least among them, to my eye, looked like Mac Jones. And if someone said, what do you think Mac Jones is going to be? I'd say he's going to be a good quarterback for a while. Like, I think he's good. I give him between a good and a very good in his debut. He seems to know what he's doing. Now, I know it's the preseason. They simplify the offense. Mac Jones seems to me to understand the offense just as advertised, make quick decisions. He has the arm. He can make all the throws. He's just not mobile. Like, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance are all mobile. These guys can move. They can extend plays with their legs, keep their eyes down the field, use their legs to get out of trouble, you know, pick up first downs, complete passes, thread the needle. I mean, the star of the weekend was Justin Fields. He was the star of the weekend. Zach Wilson outstripped expectations by the most based on what we've heard out of camp. We were hearing a lot of negative stuff, and you watch Zach Wilson, you go, damn, he's good. Not like Greeny was saying, the best out of all of them, but understand, Mike Greenberg is a Jets fan. As I said on First Take today, I'm a Giants fan. You ask me who the best quarterback this weekend was, I'll tell you Daniel Jones. He didn't play, right? The guy, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But Zach Wilson definitely outstripped where we heard he was in the preseason, like in camp. Justin Fields was the best. Listen, early, at first couple of possessions, you know how it is. You're backed up in your own territory, and they're kind of calling it vanilla, and he doesn't look great. You know, they're three and out. And then they took the handcuffs off as the game went on. Field position improved. And Justin Fields, good Lord, can he run a little bit? Can he throw a little bit? And when he even made the comment, well, listen to him being asked. Here's Justin Fields being asked about the speed of the NFL. Don't we always hear about the speed? It's different speed. You got to get used to the speed. Here's Justin Fields being asked about it.
It was actually kind of slow to me, to be honest. I was expecting it to be a little bit faster, but, you know, practicing, you know, game speed, going at it with my teammates every day. And, of course, you know, we have a great defense. So me going against them every day, It definitely slowed the game up a little bit for me. So, I felt comfortable out there. And I have room to grow. So I'm just going to try to get better each and every day.
Well, you heard him upping his defense. That's good for him. He's a leader of the whole team. But I really think this is what that's about. Why would he say it feels slow? And I don't love the comment. The reason I don't love the comment is because it's one preseason game. Even if it's true, a lot left to play, even in the preseason. And you want to make sure when you give Justin Fields the ball, and he should be QB1 right out the gate, right? He's the best quarterback on the roster, but that doesn't mean I'd let him start the season. I want Justin Fields. I want to be sure when I hand him the ball, I never got to take it back. Not for the next decade at least, right? So in order to do that, like when you say something like the speed is slower than you thought, and wait until they start really throwing stuff on you, they got some tape on you as a pro, et cetera, et cetera. And then you don't want that to come back later at you anyway. I mean, the Bears, one of the iconic franchises in the history of sports, one of the most, you know, Super Bowl starved fan bases since 85. And yet the 85 Bears means excellence. The way the 27 Yankees once did, or the 72 win Lakers. What's that? 94-95. But they're known as, Bulls, the 72 win Bulls, right? The 85 Bears means excellence and greatness in a way maybe no other brand in sports means. 85 Bears. They weren't exactly the 85 Bears. They haven't won a Super Bowl since then. And they never had a really good quarterback. And that includes Jim McMahon. I mean, a really good quarterback. Year after year after year in a football starved town, after year after year, they don't get quarterback right, after year, over 35 years. And then they get this guy. Boy, you better make sure you do it right. But you know what I think the comment about the speed of the game was really about? Why did Fields go 11? And by the way, I'm a Giants fan. I wanted them to draft Fields. Move on from Daniel Jones. Nothing against Daniel Jones. He's fine. I thought Fields was a potential star. They got a great deal for him, the Giants. But still, I prefer him to Daniel Jones. Keep your draft picks. Let me take Justin Fields. Trade Daniel Jones. But that's not what happened. The Bears grabbed him. He fell to 11. Why did he fall to 11? What did we keep hearing about Justin Fields? He doesn't process quickly enough. That's what they were saying. No one could dispute the accuracy of his arm. No one could dispute his mobility, the legs, right? That wasn't in dispute. His completion percentage in college, his success in college. None of that stuff. The strength of his arm. It was, he doesn't process it. What did we hear about Mac Jones? Mac Jones might go second quarterback, third quarterback taken because he processes information. Ooh, Trey Lance, he's not as experienced as some of the other guys, but boy, the way he processes, what a processor. So we heard about Trey Lance and Mac Jones especially. But also Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, we didn't hear he has to process. Justin Fields is the guy who everyone said process. So Justin Fields is there to tell you, I don't know what y'all talking about. It went slow to me. How'd I look? Pretty good, right? You know why? I process information quickly. I think that's what that was about. I don't like it. A lot left to go, but I think that's what it was about. Meantime, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bears got their guy. Justin Fields, mark my words, will be the best quarterback in my lifetime for the Chicago Bears. Meantime, Trey Lance showed you what he... Do you know what Kyle Shanahan's going to do with Trey Lance? You know what he's going to do with Trey Lance? Did you see the arm? Did you see the mobility? And the whole the rap against Justin Fields with the processing, that seems to be fine. Trey Lance will be a stud. Trevor Lawrence, maybe he was the most disappointing guy. I don't know. I think the best throw that was made was that 35-yard completion. Trevor Lawrence has a special kind of tight window, cannon laser-guided accurate arm. He's also 6'6" and mobile. If anything, he had a little problem processing information, the speed of the game. But he was better than Minshew, who we know is a pretty good backup. He's had some success in the NFL. Some success. Offense was better with Trevor Lawrence in game one of the preseason. So that's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones. As I said, he looked, but I give him a grade between good and very good. First action with the Patriots. So who are we talking about now? Zach Wilson, something Mina Kimes said on First Take a bunch of months back. When I heard that Justin Fields was slipping and Zach Wilson was rising, I thought, oh, here we go. Here we go. Why is Justin Fields? So Justin Fields is a stud. Who's this Zach Wilson guy? How much BYU football did I watch? And then I started YouTubing it and everything. I was like, oh my God, Zach Wilson. I understand. I'd take him second too. He was doing incredible things. And he practices that off-platform Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes stuff. Zach Wilson, I was blown away by. Mina Kimes came on First Take and said, the one thing is, she wasn't really knocking him. She just said, this kid had all the time in the world to throw behind a BYU offensive line that wasn't exactly facing amazing defenses. So, like, that allowed him to do a lot of that improvisational stuff. And I went back and looked, and she was, of course, Mina's paying very close attention, knows everything about football. She was absolutely right. And then you start hearing Zach Wilson struggling in camp and da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, let me see. This is why I say this class might be the best ever. Did Zach Wilson look like the truth to you? He did to me. It's hard for me to imagine he's going to be a failed quarterback. I don't think Trevor Lawrence can fail. I don't think Justin Fields can fail. Trey Lance has enormous upside, especially with Kyle Shanahan as the coach. And Mac Jones looks good. Who believes in Mac Jones? Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. That's this class. Like, I don't know if anyone's going to be Dan Marino, but if you get five longtime successful starters in the same in the first round of a class, that's probably the best ever. Show me a class with five of those dudes. Here's Robert Saleh, New York Jets head coach, on Zach Wilson's performance.
You know, you just want him to get his feet wet and show that the game's not too big for him, which he obviously showed. And especially in those third down moments, he had a couple of critical third down conversions there that I thought is the epitome of playing quarterback in this league, is keeping staying on the field and scoring points in 2 minute situations. And he had an op obviously with those third down opportunities. 2 minute, he'll eventually get.
If you can be a game manager who's big on third down, you can be an excellent quarterback. But if you could be a game manager who's big on third down and you can run and you have elite arm talent and you can make all the off-platform plays, I mean, what does that mean? Just a game manager big on third down is good. What? That's Zach Wilson's that plus, plus, plus. How about Trey Lance? Trey Lance's numbers didn't look great. But oh my God, he threw the ball into orbit on one play. It is now a satellite circling the Earth. Kyle Shanahan, his thoughts on Trey Lance's game one of the preseason.
There was some good and some bad. I mean, by no means was it perfect. Definitely missed a couple. There's a couple of spots that you'd like him to go to different places. Sometimes a couple of balls that he would have sailed on him, I think he'd like to have back. But he also came out pretty good, too, making the right plays, getting the right spots. I think he had a couple drops there, especially on a third down, that I think he could have kept the drive going if we had caught it. But it was a good first day. I mean, I didn't want it to go perfect for him. He likes some things that he can learn from, and be a lot of things we can go over tomorrow.
See, the thing about Trey Lance is everyone was saying, like, he may take the most time, but he has the highest upside. Everyone talked about his processor, his athletic ability, his arm. But there's something else about Trey Lance that's different to me. I like the way Justin Fields carries himself. Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, I like them all. But I love the way Trey Lance carries himself. Like, when Trey Lance talks, you're like, yep, every note is just right. The way he presents it, the stuff he's saying, what his message is, just right. And when you have that in that package of talent, and Kyle Shanahan's the coach, and you traded all that stuff and selected him in a kind of surprise move, what do you think the odds are that Trey Lance falls on his face? And then, of course, Urban Meyer, Jags head coach Urban Meyer, had Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if there's ever been a quarterback coming out of college who checks the boxes, that every single box, at the level that Trevor Lawrence checks them. Who? Andrew Luck? Trevor Lawrence taller than Andrew Luck. Won a national championship in college. Who? Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning won mobile. Who exactly? Of all the number one picks, the presumptive number one picks who then indeed were taken number one, because they're the total package, who has checked more boxes at a higher level than Trevor Lawrence, including the pedigree and the championship in college and the way he played in that game and everything? And he was maybe the most disappointing. And I thought he looked in certain spots sensational, threading the needle down the field. But Coach Urban Meyer, what did you think of Trevor Lawrence? How and the Jags, and how could they improve?
Well, he's played in environments tougher than that one now. But it is an NFL team, you know, and that's there's good players all over the field. So I'm anxious to talk to him. We're coaching the game, so I'm going to spend a lot of time. What did he think? He certainly wasn't awestruck. You know, we got to execute better. We got to protect him better, and, you know, got to get our wideouts healthy and just play better.
By the way, I mentioned the five rookie quarterbacks. They were second-year quarterbacks who, in the old days, that used to be a rookie quarterback. No one played in their first year a few snaps, and then their second year was really a rookie year. By the way, like Mahomes, they kind of went old school with Mahomes and said, hey, this is the way it's done. Think of the second-year guys. How'd Jalen Hurts look? Doesn't he look like he has a future to you? He does. He showed flashes. Inconsistency, yes, he has to get consistent, but he showed. How'd Tua look? Better or worse than last year? looked better to me. How about Jordan Love? Does Jordan Love look like he could be the Packers quarterback of the future? Yeah, I think so. Those are the second-year guys. Those are the second-year guys. There was a lot of young talent with a lot of upside under center this weekend in the NFL. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Pro Football Focus, for what it's worth, and it's worth a lot, ranked Zach Wilson and Mac Jones as having the best rookie debuts. Huh? Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. It's funny because I thought they were both impressive. But I would say that Justin Fields had the best rookie debut. Again, like for some of those three and outs early in the game when you're, you know, backed up in your own territory and it's the first time you're touching the ball and they're not going to have you do anything fancy. All right. So what? You know, as the game went on, the superstar of the weekend was Justin Fields, right? Who was bigger than Justin Fields? Who made more of a splash? I mean, let me put it another way. If you didn't know who was who and where they were drafted, and I asked you, who was the number one overall pick based on this weekend, what would you say? You'd say, that dude right there, Justin Fields. He's the number one overall pick, right? Imagine if this was a year and a half ago and you asked the same question. Well, yeah, Justin Fields. Either going to be Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, number one overall, right? And then you saw that. If I told you, yeah, that was the number one pick, yeah, I could see why they took him over Trevor Lawrence. Look at that. No, he went 11th. He didn't go one. He went 1-1. He went 1-1. You see the No Fun League? See what's going on in the NFL? Get a running back. Breaks about 11 tackles. It doesn't even break the tackles. Just like takes him on a ride. Look like Mark Bavaro in Super Bowl 21. Picks up 14 yards. Is amped about it. Excited. They took 15 yards right away. Right away. Oh, it's not good. Do you, I mean, like, I get not wanting taunting because you don't want problems. But come on, y'all. Why do we watch sports? We watch sports. What's up? What's up, Raj?
No, I'm saying, you're absolutely right. I'm watching this, and I saw that play, and I was like, you can't try and turn this into baseball or something. Don't do this. We love to see the players excited. You want to see this. I think they're just experimenting with this, but there's no way they can continue this in a regular season.
I agree. I implored Roger Goodell to reconsider this today on First Take. I looked into the camera and said, please, Commissioner, you don't. I know it must feel like everyone's looking to put a bullseye in the NFL, even for no good reason. No. We want to love the, I mean, we do love the NFL. And you know why? It's exhilarating. You know, a lot of times I'll be calling a fight or talking about a boxing match. And it's fine. It's two professional fighters. If you like boxing, you might like it. But it doesn't inspire. It's not connecting with the audience. There's nothing exhilarating about it. And my criticism is that, you know, every industry, every entertainment business is fighting for its life in such a competitive landscape. There are so many options. It's not like the old days. There are three channels. You just take what you're given, right? You get what you get and you don't get upset. No, there are a billion channels. You don't have, nothing's live. You can watch it. You can time shift anything you want in your car, at home, whenever. When you put on a live event, it's not enough for it to be a crisp professional event. It needs to feel something. The audience needs to feel something. So when a running back takes, like, what was it, eight guys on a 14-yard, you know, little trip, Benny LeMay, and he gets the first down and everything, he's exhilarated. So are we. We don't want to watch automatons. We want to watch passion. And we want to connect with it. And when you don't let the players be human beings, I get if he was doing something really humiliating to the opponent and da-da-da-da and rubbing in his face, okay. Maybe I don't care. Maybe you do. Okay, so you have a rule. But just because he's amped up after a superhuman play, that connection, that's what you're looking for. That's one of the main reasons we love it. The NFL provides you with a lot of moments like that, but if you put a damper, that's a self-inflicted wound. That's an unforced error. You know what drives you nuts? It's the playoffs, and you got a point guard and just kind of throws the ball away under 2 minutes, tight game, within 5 points. You're like, come on, man. You can't be having unforced errors. That's what this is like for the NFL. So I'll beg Roger Goodell again. I don't want to be sitting here talking about how it's the no-fun league and you messed up. Well, this is an easy one. Some things are hard. This is easy. You got to get this one right. Benny LeMay is a human being. Maybe a superhuman being after that play. He's amped. No, but he is a human being. And when he does something that feels superhuman, he's exhilarated. So are we. Don't kill it. All right, I'm going to get to your calls coming up. Here's the question I have for you. Which non-quarterback, there's a definite answer to this, has the most pressure on them this season? A non-quarterback with the most pressure in the NFL this season. By the way, did you know that the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe my computer career, maybe their logo, should represent unemployed to employed. Let me give you an example. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. So what do we got? April, May, June, July, August. In September, so September, so 6 months, he started his IT career. Ryan went from a job or, you know, whatever, to a career. Working for Amazon, by the way, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
As a fan, this is amazing. This
no, it is
the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man. This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. I'm ready.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons and the Utah Utes. Watch out for them. They're ready.
This is Sarah Spain, and I'm ready. I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Who impressed you the most this weekend? The answer is Justin Fields, but if you haven't want to give a wrong answer, that's fine. 888-SAY-ESPN-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. When I want your opinion, I'll tell you what it is. Now, what non-quarterback has the most pressure on them this year? Non-quarterback. There's only one correct answer. Let's see if you can guess it. Did I hear anyone say Odell Beckham Jr.? Because that would be the correct answer. Let me make it crystal clear for everyone. Is there any other non-quarterback who will be blamed if his team doesn't make the playoffs? Is there any other non-quarterback who you will look at and say, that guy's responsible? Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. didn't get along. It was pretty obvious. They didn't have chemistry. They needed a separation, a divorce. And Odell was once one of the most talented players in the world, always mentioned in the top three receivers, he and Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, not all that long ago. And they weren't throwing him the ball. He was being double covered, and they weren't throwing him the ball, but they also weren't getting the ball to anyone else. And that's when Odell started making a little noise. He's like, look, all right, I don't get a lot of, you know, looks, but if I'm not getting the looks, then other guys should be catching the ball because there are two dudes on me. Someone's open. Problem is this. Baker Mayfield. Remember when once upon a time Alex Smith had three offensive coordinators in his first three seasons? Everyone's like, see, that's why he's not good. Then finally he got some stability. Oh, look, he is pretty good. Baker Mayfield, number one overall pick, just like Alex Smith, had one, two, three, four head coaches in basically two seasons. Four. You know, Hugh Jackson, Williams, and then what's his name? And then Stefanski. Who am I thinking of, Raj? Who didn't, his coach not 2 years ago, Baker Mayfield. Name is already leaving my brain. Anyway, the point is, four head coaches in 2 years. Freddie Kitchens. So Hugh Jackson, Greg Williams, Freddie Kitchens, and now Kevin Stefanski. Do you understand how bad the first three guys were? Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchens, Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens are unemployable in the NFL by teams right now. They can't. They've all lost coaching jobs, and it's like not only have they lost coaching jobs, we never want to see them as coaches of any kind again. So bad. Then he got a guy who knew what he was doing. Won 11 games, top 10 in QBR. No Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't on the team. So the Browns win 11 games, make the playoffs by beating big brother Pittsburgh Steelers on the last day of the season, and then beat the Steelers in the playoffs to advance to face the Chiefs, and then lost to Kansas City by one score. So finally, the Browns are coming up in the world, and they did it all without Odell. Odell should be additive. I still think if he's healthy, he's going to be the best receiver in the game. I don't think anyone's as talented, not more talented than Odell. I don't think anyone's as talented as Odell. But now he's joining a winning team that was winning without him. And if they don't make the playoffs, everyone's going to be looking at him. There's no position player. And by the way, he's going to turn 29 this season. Ain't cute anymore, right? Maybe the last bits of his physical prime. He's been around the block a couple times. He knows how it is. He's got to fit in. No position player is facing more pressure than Odell. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Mason in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, buddy? Hey, so I know it was a non-QB question, but I just wanted to bring up Drew Lock, the Broncos. I know you said he made the biggest splash, and I think he came out swinging. I wanted to hear your opinion on it.
I agree. Drew Lock, between him and Bridgewater, I go with Drew Lock. I think he looked pretty good. I talked about the second-year quarterbacks, but just young quarterbacks in general. We still haven't seen Daniel Jones, but, you know, there's a lot of talent at quarterback now. Do I think Drew Lock's going to be a great quarterback? I do not. But he looked like an NFL quarterback to me. And he looked like the best quarterback on the roster to me by a little bit. And there's another guy on the roster who's pretty good. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Seaport. Sorry, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Raj has a new way to get me to say things I'm supposed to say on the air. He doesn't let me see anything else. John in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What's up?
Hey, Max. Three things.
Yes.
One, I'm not going to ask you how you're doing.
Very good. That's good.
Two,
yeah.
I think Ezekiel Elliott has the most pressure.
Mm-hmm. That's wrong. But
and
we
three,
can talk about it. Yeah.
I've been following boxing, Max, for probably over 50 years.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, I don't think there is a soul alive, Cosell or Pacheco, anybody else, that knows and understands the game as well as you. That's it.
Now, John, that's a very big compliment. I appreciate that. The fact that you didn't say what's up, that's a point for John. Now, Stephen A. made the case for Ezekiel Elliott as facing the most pressure, but the fact is Dak is the guy everyone's looking at because it used to be a run-based offense, or at least that's how it was perceived. The offensive line was not as good. Zeke was a little fat. He didn't have a great season last year. The offensive line is back and healthy. They should be pretty good. Ezekiel Elliott lost weight, and he's supposed to be pretty good. But if he's not, we'll look at the offensive line as much as we look at him. That's mainly what a running game is about. You have a good offensive line, any old running back will do pretty well. You know, but now Dak got paid like a superstar. And think about the receivers. Gallup's his third best receiver. He's also got Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Oh, they probably got the best three-headed the Bucs have the best three-headed monster, and they probably have the second best, you know, three-man team at receiver in the NFL. No, I think I hear what you're saying about Zeke, but everyone would be looking at Dak. The difference between Zeke and Odell is wideouts have a bigger impact on winning and losing than running backs. And unlike, like, Zeke is, you know, Dak is back. The team didn't do well last year. How much pressure is really on Zeke? Dak's just signed a big contract. But Odell is coming back to a team that won 11 games, beat the Steelers at the end of the year, beat them in the playoffs, was win a score beating the Chiefs. No, if they wind up 8-9, 9-8, oh, everyone's going to be looking at Odell. And finally, that's a big compliment about boxing. I really very much appreciate that coming from a lifelong boxing fan. As Ralph Cramden would say, see, Raj, if he's been watching boxing for 50 years, he knows the Ralph Cramden reference from The Honeymooners. I'm humbled by the comparison. No? The Max Kellerman Show is on ESPN Radio. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Did Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston take a step forward in the quarterback battle for the Saints? Let me ask you something. What if you could put the same type of rigor that the pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, now you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you, and you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. You agree with my hot take, scorching hot, sizzling hot? This could be the greatest quarterback draft class ever. I say that after game one of the preseason. By the way, that's considered, circumspect. Stephen A. told me as soon as I said it on the air today, oh, could be. Sure, it could be. He wasn't impressed.
Hold on there just a second, Max Keller.
Yes, I didn't say after one game of preseason definitively, this is the greatest quarterback class ever or will be. I said it could be. I've never thought that before, watching game one of preseason, that we could be watching the greatest quarterback class ever. But just give me a name that you don't think is going to be a successful NFL starting quarterback. I think they all look like successful starters to me. I think the floor is still Mac Jones. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, they were mixed reviews. He got the first start of the preseason, Taysom Hill. Jameis threw the first touchdown pass. Neither were able to hold on to the football. That's not good. I think people like Winston more here, not because he performed better. That's debatable. But because we've seen him, Heisman Trophy winning, football champ, number one overall draft pick. By year two, or after year two, Jameis put up good enough numbers and looked good enough where some people were saying, I know some people, football people, who were saying he might be in the MVP conversation this year. Now, it didn't go in that direction. But when he lost his starting job, yes, he threw 30 interceptions. He also threw 30 touchdowns and led the league in yards, over 5,000 yards thrown. So, Jameis has talent as a quarterback. Taysom Hill was seen as a gadget player, had 928 passing yards last season in 4 games, 121 attempts. So he's thrown on average over 200 yards a game, well over. And he wound up with 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And obviously, this is not a dynamic passing quarterback. But you know what? He completed 73% of his passes, and most importantly, they were 3-1 with Taysom Hill. Well, they were 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, I like Bridgewater. Taysom Hill, they were 3-1, and he completed 73% of his passes. Now, to me, technique and all the way we normally judge players, that's because we want to know if it's a repeatable skill. For example, when we saw Lonzo Ball shoot the ball early in his career, it's like, boy, that shot looks broken. Even if he shoots well 1 year, I don't believe him. I don't trust it. Can he repeat that motion and success? Is it a repeatable skill? It looks like yes with Lonzo Ball. Technique is a means to an end, and it's a reliable indicator for the rest of us who watch about the repeatable skill. Can you have repeated success? So it is wise of us to use technique and that kind of stuff to say, well, I don't know if this guy's going to work out or no. That looks good to me. Taysom Hill is not the most dynamic. It's not exactly technique I'm talking about, but the way it looks, Taysom Hill, you're not going to get the job done like you would with a traditional quarterback. He's going to run it a lot. He's not going to be the most accurate downfield passer with big chunk plays, stuff like that. But if you can go 3-1 with the guy, if you can win 3 out of every 4 games, who cares? Look, Saints fans are spoiled because they just had Drew Brees, the most accurate passer in the history of football. That ain't Jameis Winston, that ain't Taysom Hill. But I wouldn't be so quick to give the job to Jameis because you can imagine him throwing the ball down the field more. I don't know if I believe I'd win more games with Jameis than with Taysom Hill. Mark in Tennessee, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, enjoy the show.
Thank you, bro.
Not one player, but I think a Dallas defense might have a bright light on it this year. Mm-hmm. Also, I was going to ask you to please fill in the blank. Game one starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears will be
Justin Fields. And I don't know if it's wise, but he's so clearly QB1 that I think they're going to start him. Here's the danger. It's the same reason I don't like him saying, actually, the game was slow for me. The only thing I could see stopping Justin Fields, even in Chicago with their bad offensive line. Like, why did Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, neither one work behind that Chicago offensive line? Because Mitch Trubisky can outrun linebackers but can't throw the ball accurately down the field consistently. Nick Foles can if he has a pocket to step into, but that offensive line doesn't give you any pockets. Right? Justin Fields can do everything. He can move when you need him to move. He can pick up first downs with his legs and outrun the linebackers. And someone was making the point today, I think it was Sam Acho making the point today on First Take, he can outrun DBs, let alone linebackers. And he's got a big arm and he's accurate down the field. So for all those reasons, he gives you a better chance to win than Andy Dalton. My only reservation is this. The Chicago Bears, I'm 48 years old. They have not had a really good quarterback in my entire lifetime. And that town is football crazy. And this is one of the all-time American iconic franchises. And they think of how many years they just don't get quarterback right. They finally did it. I implored them to move up in the draft and take Fields. They did. I predicted that, you know, weeks before the draft. And they had to put together a pretty good package to get him. But with all that, with everything on the line, with that fan base and that franchise, and finally getting a real, real talented quarterback, you have to make sure when you hand them the ball, you never have to take it back. It's never even a question. And rookie seasons, guys hit walls, they get tape on them, they start to play them differently, they have to adjust to the adjustments, all that. I don't want them to give Justin Fields the ball until they know it's never going to be an issue of taking it back from him. Because that's the only thing that can mess with this guy, in my opinion. Nevertheless, he's too good. They're going to give it to him week one. He's too good. He's too good. Did you see him play? All right, coming up, I want to explain just how special this quarterback draft class can be. We're going to get more calls, Max, on Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.